This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Good to be with you. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Thursday. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, going back real quick, and then we'll just copying a link here so we can get to the topic I teased about the three teams in Houston all being kind of top 10 in their sport right now. And is this, you know, how does this compare to the best times? Apparently, back in 2018, according to one texter, we were ranked the number two sports city behind Boston. The Astros had just won the World Series. Deshaun Watson had gotten hurt but looked amazing in his rookie year. That is true.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Rockets with Harden had just gone to the West. They went to the Western Conference Finals back in 2018.
That was very, very, very close to being a golden age in Houston sports.
I believe I heard that on these airwaves. A quarterback.
I had said it many years earlier. I said that they were a franchise quarterback away from being in a golden age. And it might have been in 2015 or 16 is when the Astros were starting to make their swing back up. Harden was around, obviously. And I just said the Texans just need a franchise quarterback.
I think you were on the right track. I think, you know, just a little thing happened along the way with the franchise quarterback is all, you know, and then James Harden was part of the calculus as well. That didn't help. But you were close.
I blame COVID for most of it.
There you go. Yeah, and that happened too.
Or politicians' response to COVID. Whatever your appetite is for invoking that term. Yeah,
whoever,
I blame everybody but myself for it.
Whoever we can point the finger at. So the Athletic had this list. The NFL 50 under 40, taking some liberties with the format. Usually it's 40 under the age of 40. These are one of those lists that highlights the big risers, you know what I mean? The all the people that have that sort of green, upward-moving stock chart, you know?
This list annoys me for one very irrational reason, and it's that the main, on the headline, the main picture is a really weird picture of Jason Kelce, and it annoys me. I don't know, and I like Jason Kelce, but it's annoying me partly because I feel like Jason Kelce is still at that point in his broadcasting career where you can tell the producers are trying like hell to force him into a certain role instead of just letting him be himself, and I don't feel like he should be quite there just yet.
He's got a look on his face, you're right, he's got a look on his face that is, it's clearly like he's expressing some sort of emotion. He's either looking at you like you just hit on his wife, or he's looking at you like he wants to eat you. You know,
I feel like he's looking down on me. I feel like he just made a smug point.
I could see
about,
that.
He made a smug. You know what? He looks like a smug analytics bro.
Right.
Who's just like, man, you don't even understand Klondorf. Yeah.
And right before they took that picture, he went like this. After he made his point, he went, licked his finger and like tallied something in the air for you.
I think, so obviously Jason Kelce is one of these guys in here.
Yeah.
I think Jason Kelce is a podcaster, and in doing a lot of those things away from the main meet, I think that's where his biggest and best influence might be.
Yeah.
Except that I don't, like, right now he's in that phase where they're just trying to, it's like putting a monkey in a suit, you know? Like, I feel like they're just trying too hard to turn him into something that he's not.
Yeah,
Jason Kelce needs to just be Jason Kelce.
Right. No, he's really good with his brother on that podcast. I've not found him to be extraordinary so far. He's not bad. But I just haven't. Yeah. He hasn't popped for me as a studio analyst or any of the things he's done on ESPN. Doesn't mean he won't. Doesn't mean I think he should be yanked off the air. It's just like I think a lot of people came in. He came into this business with a lot of hype because remember those articles they would do about those broadcasting boot camps.
Yeah.
That the NFL would put on. The NFL, one of the things they do for current players is, hey, if you want to get into broadcasting once a year, we have guys that may want to get into this. Give it a try. With a lot of mentors and tutors and things like that. And when he went, man, it was like LeBron out of high school on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, this is the next big thing. Jason Kelce.
And that's where it's interesting, too. And this is where I think I can show you that I feel like I'm being relatively objective about this. I never really liked Romo as a broadcaster his first year. And yet, I would have understood him being put on a list like this because he was wildly popular, and that's what matters. People loved it. Jason Kelce, I very much like, and I want the best for him, and I enjoy him. I just feel like he hasn't found that niche right now where I think that they're really using him the best way.
Yeah.
But maybe in that potential, he should be on this list.
Some interesting names with I'll give you the two that are actual employees of the Texans right now that made this list. Gerard Johnson is on this list, you know, and this list includes coaches, front office people, obviously broadcasters, agents are on this list. But Gerard Johnson made the list, and they've got a nice little pull down here on The Athletic for each of these guys, Seth. It's got the graphics that you like. Johnson's extensive background with C.J. Stroud and several ascending young quarterbacks in general through development groups like the Elite 11, Nike's Elite 11, made him an invaluable part of the Houston Texans' talent identification process. Now, that's interesting. I wish I'd gotten this list before we talked to Nick yesterday to find out, like, hey, where's Gerard's role when it comes to when it came to identifying C.J. Stroud and his assessment through the Elite 11? We'll have another chance to ask him. They continue to say, now Stroud, the number two pick of the draft last year in 2023, is one of the faces of the NFL. Johnson has interviewed for offensive coordinator jobs in the last two hiring cycles. Many in league circles believe his true potential lies beyond that as a future head coach. So this is somebody that Texan fans were ready to throw Gerard out, the baby with the bathwater, when it came to the Texans' offense. Some Texan fans, at least in terms of promoting him to the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I think there are very few people who are down on Gerard Johnson. I think there are a lot of people who are high on Gerard Johnson that just felt like, all right, he's still green by NFL coaching standards.
Yeah.
And that's the skepticism there. So,
well, the skepticism from some people, totally unreasonable, was why didn't Gerard stop it? Why didn't he tackle Bobby Slowick? But what were you going to say?
I was going to say that could be a good Pender poll. Like,
About Gerard Johnson, approval rating. So the other Texan employee on this list is somebody who I'm guessing a lot of Texan fans. There's a lot of guys the Texans interviewed for the OC job, which is interesting. I don't know how old Nick Caley is. I think he's 42, so he wouldn't be on a list. By the way, D'Amico not on this list. He's 40 years old now, so it's 50 people under the age of 40. But Grant Yudinski is on here, who they interviewed, the wunderkind out of Minnesota. He's now the OC for Jacksonville, so he is an OC in the division now.
Yeah. This kid is apparently who looks a little bit too much like Johnny Manziel for my liking, as one of our listeners pointed out.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I feel like he needs to be applauded for overcoming looking too much like Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
Because I feel like looking like Johnny Manziel could help you in a lot of ways, but not as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's super, super young. He's 29 years old.
Yeah.
And he's the offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep. He made the list. Thad Lewis made the list, who interviewed for the Texans OC job. Brian Johnson, who a lot of people were down on the Texans hiring potentially because he got fired in Philadelphia a year ago, made this list. So, you know, at least there's some people out there still think very highly of him. I'm sure there's plenty. The other Texan employee that made this list, and is a name I guarantee 90% of Texan fans, probably more, don't know, DJ Debick. I hope I'm pronouncing DJ's name correctly. Director of pro scouting for the Texans. And the Texans have drafted pretty well the last couple of years. The ready to win. Now, pro scouting is different than college scouting, though. Like the pro scouting, right, Seth? This is you scouting other teams because they point out with DJ's profile here. The ready to win Texans made big moves in free agency, led in part by Debick's efforts in pro personnel. Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, Al Shaier, Stephon Diggs were all key additions, and extending star receiver Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz was important while C.J. Stroud remains on his rookie contract. Schultz is debatable right now.
Also says he's played a key role in bringing in new offensive coordinator Nick Caley.
Okay. Now, this is one.
So I don't know what his key role was.
I don't.
It was key, Sean. That's all you need to know.
But I'll say it again. Same thing I said about Gerard. I wish this list had come out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I could learn a little bit more, especially with Debick, because I don't really know. I don't really have a ton of background on there about him. But that's good. You got a Texas. You got a high profile assistant position coach with Gerard, and you got someone in the front office that people are looking at. 33 years old.
Okay, so one name on here that I was excited to see was Greg Olsen. I love Greg Olsen as a broadcaster. I feel like Greg Olsen, he seems like the kind of guy who could end up going the John Lynch route. Because he comes off as a super bright dude, but who has that playing experience. His communication skills are obviously very good, but I wonder if ultimately he might want more than just broadcasting. So for putting him as an influential guy under the age of 40, he's 39. He made it by the skin of his teeth. But yeah, I think that makes sense. Okay. Davis Webb was a big surprise. Giants great Davis Webb.
Former Texas Tech Red Raider Davis Webb. Yeah, he's quarterback. Yeah, quarterback's coach with the Denver Broncos right now. He's 30.
He's 30?
He's 30, yeah. Yeah.
But he's a retired NFL player.
Yeah.
How many seasons did he end up playing?
Davis Webb, not
I'm
many.
I'm putting the over-under at 2.5.
Yeah, yeah. I would, and I might even take the under on that with Davis Webb.
I remember them talking about him. Oh, whichever veteran quarterback he replaced at the time.
Eli, probably, right? He was a Giant, I think, Davis.
What's that?
I think he replaced Eli.
He was one of the guys that replaced Eli when they was playing there when Eli was injured or what have you. And they did. They gushed about how intelligent he was.
Yes, yeah. 30 years old, QB coach under Sean Payton in Denver.
Very bright, but that's the problem that Giants fans would tell you. It's like, hey, you ain't trying to solve a quadratic equation here. We're trying to throw a football, okay?
Ryan,
get your ass in the coaching booth.
Ryan Poles is on this list, the GM for the Chicago Bears. I feel like he probably campaigned his way onto this list.
Has anybody gotten more credit in the middle of a tank, which right now, I'll remind you, wasn't supposed to be a tank last year?
Right. They were supposed to be good.
He keeps getting credit for being bad, specifically for being bad. I say, yeah, but look at these draft picks they have this year. We got because they've been bad.
Yeah.
What are you? Yeah. Where was this love for Jeff Luno back when the Astros were horrible?
Now in his fourth year as the GM in Chicago after 13 seasons with the Chiefs, Poles has remade the Bears roster thanks to a strong emphasis on building through the draft. They were last place in their division this year. Like, what are we doing?
It's all part of the emphasis of his. Yeah.
39 Poles is the second youngest GM behind Cleveland's Andrew Berry. Colleagues say Poles is a meticulous planner who encourages input and is big on player and staff development. He fired a coach last year. He fired a coach.
Okay, so he's been there 4 years.
Yeah, he's going into his fourth year. Yes. Yeah.
They've been 6-11.
Yeah.
3-14.
Yep.
7-10.
Yeah.
And 5-12.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he continues to get all of this love for what an incredible job he's doing. This is the modern NFL. It's if you're a really, really good GM, you don't listen. I'm all for sticking by a guy and letting the process play out.
Yeah.
But you don't get to go 5-12 in your fourth season as the GM and continue to be lauded as this mastermind where the process is all working out.
Okay.
What the hell is
all
this?
Those records are what they are, Seth. But what if I told you that he leads with decisiveness, according to people around the league?
He leads reporters into his office and makes them feel special is what he does
when
decisively.
When it's go time, Poles executes and leads with decisiveness. That is the most decisive-ass 5-12 record you're going to find in the NFL. Like, he led that. Those five wins were the most decisive. At least were led with decisiveness. I don't know what the final score was. Poles still is looking. Literally after they say all these things about meticulous planner, encourages input, execute. They have to be tearing this list apart in Chicago right now if they're going through it. Poles still is. Literally, there's a sentence. Poles still is looking for his first winning season as a GM. But just landed top head coaching candidate Ben Johnson. So Chicago appears to be trending in the right direction. That makes him one of the 50 most valuable entities under the age of 40 in the sport of professional football.
Boy, if they can just manage to go 3-14 this year, he's going to be at the top of this list next year.
Dude.
He'll be the most influential guy in all of sports, just the NFL.
If he gets a top five pick again, it's going to be incredible.
What an incredible mind.
I love lists like this. I'm sad I've never been on one. Like, you know, this many people under, you know, 30 under 30, 40 under, probably because when I was under 40, I was doing a job. There was not a best 40 under 40 in telecom sales. That article would not have gotten clicked a lot.
You could have, you know what you should have done?
What?
You should have just started a website and named yourself.
Come up with the top list myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
one thing I've learned is if you create some kind of an industry trade publication or website where there is none,
the
people in that industry will monitor it and watch it and read it and care way more about it than they should.
We see it in this industry all the time.
Oh yeah.
All the time. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Good to be with you. 713-572-4610. Is the number on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, if you want to weigh in on anything we've been talking about here. Our friend Houston Stressens put up a poll, and this is an interesting one because the Texans are going to have some decisions to make. Not everybody's going to be back next year who was on the team last year. Some will leave of their own volition. Some will be asked to leave. Four names, which would you ask to leave? Who do we cut? Who's getting voted off the island? Put up a poll. We'll do the Seth Payne guessing game with this poll and break down each of these as far as cap cuts go. That is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Garrett of Houston Stressens put up a poll last night, at about, February 19th, whenever that was. Was that yesterday? Yeah. 6 p.m. So it's still up. You got 8 hours left to get out and vote if you want to in this poll. If you could only cut one Houston Texan, who would it be? Obviously, there's a lot that goes into answering that for people because you got to, you know, cap cuts and cap, you know, like dead money, things like that. So this feels like more of an emotional question because that's how it's framed. If you could only cut one Houston Texan, who would it be?
And so, then he gives you choices. So, you know, it's not like the carte blanche.
Right. So there's four choices. So, Seth, we'll play the little game where you pick which one you think the people think. We'll have you guess the percentage. And then obviously get your opinion and my opinion on it here.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one for multiple reasons. I think it was hard for me actually to decide who I think the Texans should amongst these four players cut. Four players are Shaq Mason, Kenyon Green, Dalton Schultz, and Jimmy Ward.
Yep.
And it's tough partly because you don't get a net gain of much at all from any of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get more than $2 million extra space. So this almost becomes one of, all right, which guys do you think you really don't need, don't want them, can't have them, get rid of them, I don't care how much dead money, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I don't know, who did you
choose?
Dalton,
let me just point out, Dalton is a net loss, actually. Like, Dalton, you're still upside down on his contract if you cut him.
And with any of those guys, too, even if you get a net gain, like with Shaq Mason, you get a $2.1 million net gain, but you also got to find a new guard.
Yeah.
And maybe that's in the draft, but maybe it's in free agency. So there's a double whammy there with some of these, even though there's a minimal net gain.
I think the way to frame, just the way to frame it, none of them are easy financial pills to swallow, I guess, in this whole thing. So let's have you guess first. So who do you think the people said they would most want to cut? There's several hundred votes in this poll right now.
I think the people most often said Kenyon Green.
That's a good guess. However,
I told you I was going to suck at this.
I think it's a really good guess.
All right. Tell me who it is, and then I'll guess the percentage.
Shaq Mason is
okay.
The,
all right. Yeah. Yep. And that does make more sense, because I think one of the problems with Shaq Mason's performance is that it's steadily gotten worse over the last 3 years.
He may be washed.
Ever since he left New England, he's just he was not quite as good in Tampa as he was in New England, and then he hasn't been the same guy at all with Houston, especially this last year.
Yep.
So the big thing about Shaq Mason is, yeah, you gain a little bit of cap space. You do have a $12.4 million hit on the cap that does hurt. But I guess I probably should have guessed that one. My guess, and I'm guessing the percentage was 38%.
You know what? 41.7%. I'm giving this man a ding for that right there. Yeah, that's really close. 41 points in a poll that's not like a lopsided one or anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, Kenyon Green was second. Kenyon Green was second and not far behind Shaq. So that's why I say it wasn't a bad guess. He's a pretty convincing second. He's a clear second ahead of Schultz and Jimmy Ward. He got about a third of the votes, 34% for Kenyon Green. 18, is that an 18 or a 16? 18.2% for Dalton Schultz. Jimmy Ward, 6.1%.
For me, for Kenyon Green, he's still cheap. He's still on his rookie contract. And with Kenyon Green, I'm still very much trying to stay open to, all right, with a new offensive line coach who was the assistant offensive line coach last year, who was supposed to be great at working with younger players. But with a new offensive coordinator and a new setup in the offense, I'm willing to give it one more attempt. He just 100% cannot be penciled in as the starter the way they did last year during training camp. That was insane. So he can compete for a starting job. I think his upside is enough that at the very least you put him out there and let him compete during training camp. He's got rare physical traits in a good way in a lot of ways. It's just we got to see it. Shaq Mason. I'm wondering if, man, between Cole Popovich having been with him in New England, Nick Caley having been with him in New England, Casario obviously was with him in New England. The one thing that I might wonder is he hasn't been the same player since he left New England, and he's not that old. I wonder if those guys are going to look at it and say, man, all right, some of the fundamentals and the basics have kind of eroded over time, but if we can get him playing the way we want him to play, that there's still value there. So I don't know if it's as much of a slam dunk that they're going to do it as I thought it might be. For me, the hardest thing is the guy I want to choose is the guy I least want to cut by a long, long margin. But I have to look at Jimmy Ward. And at his age, in the fact in the last three seasons of 51 possible regular season games, he's played 32 of them.
Yeah.
You know, and in some of those games, he didn't play the whole game because he got injured in the game.
Yep.
He's been banged up a lot. The last three seasons, he's played 12 games, 10 games, and 10 games.
Wow. So that would be the two seasons here and then his last season in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And Seth, his original deal was a two-year deal. Keep in mind, they extended him another year after last season where it wasn't a dig situation, where it was an ACL and he'd just been really healthy throughout his whole career. Like Jimmy Ward, what did you say, he played 10 games his first season here in 2023?
Yeah.
10 games. And so he misses 7 games and he misses the postseason. So the last injury ended his season. And I feel like it was like 3 different injuries too. Like there was an ankle and a quad
and he's going to be 34 years old this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 34 years old. He's missed almost half of the games that he could have played in the regular season in the past 3 years. And it's really, really hard for me because I think he is swarm as hell. I think he filled in and played his best football in relief of Jalen Petrie at that star position after Jalen Petrie went down. And I think he's still capable of playing at a high level. But at a certain point, it's tough when you just can't depend on him. On a 34-year-old who's missed that many games over the past few years, it would be easy for me emotionally to cut Shaq Mason, Kenyon Green, or Dalton Schultz. But the realistic one that probably makes the most sense is Jimmy Ward.
Yeah.
So I have to grudgingly... for the good of the team and the future, I have to choose Jimmy Ward.
Wow. Okay, so you're going against the grain there. Only 6.1% of the people said that.
No, and I totally get it. I totally get it. I wish I could be there with him.
I they obviously value his leadership tremendously. I mean, DeMeco has long history with Jimmy Ward, like going back to San Francisco, and especially as compared to these other three guys, like Kenyon Green, Shaq Mason, Dalton Schultz, like none of them are the, you know, feel like, at least outsider looking in, like the tour de force in the locker room, you know, that leads guys, you know.
All right, okay, let me rethink this.
Okay.
Because I had kind of talked about why I think they might keep Shaq Mason. But, man, I mean, is he going to be 32 this year?
Yeah, he's 31 right now, so yeah.
All right, Jimmy Ward isn't costing you that much against the cap, though, either.
Shaq was my choice.
Yeah. No, Shaq is mine now again. Yeah. Shaq was my initial gut instinct, but then I started thinking, like, is it a wasted vote because as if they're paying attention to my vote. But is it a wasted vote because they're going to keep him around anyway?
Right.
No, it just makes too much sense. That's when I set the over under on new starters on the Texans offensive line this year, I usually start with Shaq Mason as probably being gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, Shaq Mason's my vote.
Yep.
Oh, phew. I thank goodness. I felt bad about Jimmy Ward. Now, having said all that, I do think it's they just can't rely on Jimmy Ward.
No.
And Eric Murray's a free agent. So is MJ Stewart. Like, there's a lot of questions there for who's going to play alongside Kalen Ballon.
They got a lot of shopping to do at that, like, second and third tier of the depth chart the Texans do.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like the first tier, or tier and a half maybe, is pretty well locked down for next season and subsequent seasons. Someone texts in on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, 6735. Sorry if you guys covered this already. If the Texans re-sign Diggs, does it rescind some of the dead money, or is the dead money already applied towards the cap? The dead money is sunk cost. Yeah, there's nothing that changes with that. If they re-sign Diggs, it'd be the same as signing some other free agent cap-wise. Yeah, that's 16.6.
You've lost your Bitcoin code there.
Yes.
You're never getting it back. You don't get credit.
Sorry.
That is gone forever.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
That's one of my worst stories that I to hear from people. These people that bought Bitcoin when it was dirt cheap, and they just lost it somewhere along the way.
Yeah,
they
had
it written on a Post-it note or something, and the cleaning lady took it up. Like, I just.
It's so wild to me.
And then nobody has it.
Right.
It's just out there.
It just disappears.
It's just forever. It's
dandelion spores.
It's in a dumpster. Sean. That's going to be the next wave in Bitcoin mining. There are landfills out there with slips of paper that have Bitcoin code from 10 years ago written on it.
Rifling
you need to start,
trash.
Yeah, take away your fancy computer servers. Go invest in a backhoe and start excavating a landfill.
I'll be poor before I rifle through landfill. hey, let's give away some tickets to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Bun B's birthday bonanza. Happy early birthday to Bun B. Friday, March the 7th. Call now. 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5, and you are on your way. Keep listening all day long. You're going to have chances, multiple more chances today to win. I believe in the 11 and 1 o'clock hours will be when they're doing it on In the Loop. We'll talk to Reggie and John here in just a minute, but give us a call right now. 713-572-4610. It is a Rodeo Ticket Thursday. On Sports Radio 610. Up next, we'll circle back to Nick Caserio on CJ Stroud's offseason. And Nick had a pretty funny evaluation of a non-football player that he thought might, I don't know. I don't know if Nick thought maybe he might get into a fight with this guy or not, but we will. Nick Caserio was on one yesterday when it came to a couple things, and you'll hear one of his funny comments from yesterday and his analysis of CJ Stroud's offseason coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday. Talked a lot about C.J. Stroud. Where did C.J. Stroud improve in a year where there was statistical regression? Where were the areas that Nick Caserio saw improvement? Here was a big one that he saw.
He learned relative to decision-making. Hey, you know what? This decision on this play, maybe the simple play is not the sexy play, but it's the right play. So I think you saw that as the year went on. So he played a lot of good football. I think sometimes everything gets sort of jaded relative to CJ and his performance and how he played. I mean, you can go look at some of the things. I know nobody really gives a crap about stats, but I mean, you look at some of the things that he did. I mean, the guy played really good football. So I think that sometimes it kind of gets lost a little bit.
Nick brought up in that in one portion of the CJ conversation the Kansas City playoff game, and that was as citing a game that CJ played really well in. Now keep in mind that was a game they lost, whatever it was. The offense scored 12 points in that game.
Yeah,
you know.
And, yeah.
But you and I both, I think, agree with him on that. When we came in the Monday following that game, I know you said it. You were pounding the drum that CJ, even though they only scored 12 points, CJ Stroud was not the problem. He threw a lot of good balls that day.
Yeah, they were done in by, I mean, even on that 82-yard touchdown drive at the beginning of the third quarter, they had like 20 yards in penalties on that drive. They also had a, I feel there was the Xavier Hutchinson catch where he got a first down, but they marked it short of the first down.
Yeah.
And it probably should have been challenged, but they didn't. And then they got knocked back by a penalty on the next play. And they still ended up converting that and scoring. They did some really good things in that game. And then in the fourth quarter, where the Kansas City Chiefs had only scored 13 points up to that point, the pass protection just completely fell apart.
Yeah.
And there were some positives to take from that. There were positives to take all year long. I don't think you'd find many people around the league that felt like CJ was to blame for the offense not being what it could have been this year. And if you look at the fact that they're middle of the road in a lot of respects and a lot of statistics offensively, that's kind of what you hope to get. If you have a genuinely good quarterback, even in years where the offense is bad, the quarterback makes up for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I think that there was an element to that this year. They didn't put out a lot of points, but it was very few and far between where they were getting blanked offensively in games.
Yep. More with Caserio as far as improvements for CJ. Says he'll improve his lower body strength.
They're going to have a new offensive system, so there's going to be a learning element that's involved there. Continue to train, get stronger, improve his lower body strength, and I think he showed he can make plays with his legs. So you just want to try to be a durable player and a durable athlete. So our ask is no different for CJ than it is for any other player.
Yeah, and bringing up the lower body strength, I think, is part of not just the passing part of it, because we'll play the baseball part of it in a second. So the lower body strength helps you with your throwing motion, obviously, but also I think in when you do pull the ball down and become a runner, CJ's not going to be a guy that runs a 4.3 40, and his strength as a runner, which is already good, it can be improved that much more just by being able to make it through perhaps initial contact at the line of scrimmage or whatever it might be. His ability to scramble within the pocket just by being stronger and sturdier, I think it improved in year two over year one, but he can continue to build on that.
I'm very anxious to see what the new CJ Stroud looks like. The one that seems to be more excited about running the football now and seems to, you know, like he
what if he comes in looking like a true meathead?
Yeah.
He's like a guy that wears sleeveless shirts around all over the place.
Yeah. That's going to run over people. That would be great.
Is he a backwards hat guy? Is he coming with in a big dip? He's got to have a backwards hat and a big dip, and his legs are gigantic.
Oh, that would be
like
amazing.
Like bursting out. He looks like the Hulk.
Yeah, especially because we haven't seen much of him. You know what I mean? Like, if the change is that drastic, it's not gradual for us. It's first time we see him. Is it like mandatory minicamp? Like, wow, who's that guy? Kind of like that article in The Athletic about Jeremy Pena back when he was a young player. And Jeremy Pena used to be a beanpole when he was a player, and he obviously since then he's gotten the weight room. He looks like an NFL safety now. But there was an anecdote in a Jeremy Pena article one year at spring training, where two coaches are there, and they watch Pena walk by, and one of them goes, "Man, that looks like a jacked up Jeremy Pena," and the other guy's like, "That is Jeremy Pena. That's
100% Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, we need
like as long
that.
As I didn't, but you don't want him to be for people who throw."
Yeah.
Throwing athletes, like pitchers and quarterbacks,
there
is still the old school fear of being too muscle bound.
Yeah.
That is a thing for if you throw the ball. I would imagine it's got to be somewhere between. You don't want to be Tom Brady where all you're concerned about is pliability, because Tom Brady never had to run.
Yeah.
Like you don't want him getting too muscled up. I don't want a Tim Tebow out there.
No. We call that in the Notre Dame world, we call that Brady Quinn syndrome. Brady Quinn had some gun. Now, he was pretty good in college. Like, he was good enough to be a first-round pick in the NFL. But he was always suns out, guns out, man.
Remember with Tebow, because Tebow was never a really fluid and natural thrower of the ball by NFL standards. But when he went to the Jets and they decided to try to make him a fullback and he got really bulked up, it was ugly. Like, when he tried to throw the football, it was ugly. Because he was already stocky and built up, and it was too much for him.
Someone on the text page, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, a big dip, LOL, wasn't quite what I heard. No dip, D-I-P, big dip.
I want him to, he's going to come up with a backwards hat, gray sweatpants, and a woman down the hall needs her dishwasher fixed.
Hung like a racehorse.
She's stuck under a dishwasher.
Ben, get the hotkey ready, Ben. The suggestion on the text page for the Texans O-line, cut Shaq Mason and get an O-lineman with a big ass.
Big ass.
Yeah,
get a big ass. None of these top-heavy offensive linemen.
No.
I'll tell you what, the body type analysis of the offensive line of your highest-paid offensive lineman at the beginning of that last year, it did not look like – like those guys had just been toiling in the gym and pushing away dessert all off season long.
No,
that was us. I shouldn't. Laramie's always in good shape.
It was the
Titus
right side.
And Shaq
the right
did
side.
Not,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like by NFL offensive lineman standards, even
yeah.
which you're allowed to get away with being kind of chubby. They didn't look good, man. Those guys looked like they were struggling to move.
They looked
like when they would
big.
Fall down on the ground. Yeah. If they fell down on a play, it looked like really kind of difficult for them to get up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't played the pitcher one yet, have we, in this segment? I know we just played the hotkey. Did we play talking about
no.
Nick? Okay, well, let's play that here. Nick Caserio, an analogy across sports with lower body strength.
And when you're playing quarterback, everything is ground-based. When you think about a pitcher, everything starts from the ground up. So having a good, firm base. I mean, go look at Nolan Ryan. Go look at Roger Clemens. Like, I don't know how much they were squatting, but nobody was more sturdy in their lower body than those two guys. I mean, Clemens had a big ass. Nolan Ryan had old man strength, but he could bend. He had lower body flexibility. You know, when he got in his windup, he pushed off the rubber, and the ball jumped off of his hand. So, yeah, you need arm strength, but you also need torque and lower body strength, which comes from your core, which comes from your leg. So what do you have to do? You have to train those areas.
Yeah. Big takeaway from that on the show was
Clemens had a big ass.
Yeah, the big takeaway from that was I decided to put Roger Clemens and Nick Caserio in the cage with each other, and Seth scoffed at the notion of Nick Caserio standing up in a fight with Clemens.
Yeah,
understandably
yeah,
so. Understandably
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I know, man. Because you had the same thought about Pat Mahomes Sr.
And Rocker.
And Rocker.
That's right.
Like, you asked who would win in a street fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not even close. Yeah. Rocker by a mile in a street fight. Boxing's a whole different matter. Because Clemens, even at his advanced age. He's 63 years old.
Yeah.
But versus Caserio. Caserio is in much better cardiovascular shape, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he just wouldn't. I'm highly skeptical he'd be able to overcome the weight difference.
We need to get this fight on the Rough and Rowdy Barstool pay-per-view now. Caserio v. Clemens as the undercard. Actually, that'd probably be the main event. Clemens is the biggest name out of all those guys. But that fight's going to come off. It's reportedly the Mahomes and Rocker fight. So we'll find out. I don't know. Is this Rough and Rowdy thing? Like, is it boxing or is it street fight? Does anybody in this room know? Lopez, Reggie, do you guys have any idea? This Barstool?
I haven't heard. That's
Rough
a great
and Rowdy.
Question.
Yeah, I need to know the style of fight to see if my guy, Mahomes Sr., can stand up to John Rocker.
And I am glad that Seth caught himself when he started to say advanced age, because Roger and I are almost the exact same age. Almost the exact same age.
Everybody
sounds like you might need to do some reflecting there.
Oh, I'd take Roger.
I'm watching highlights of a couple guys fighting at Rough and Rowdy 24, and it's a couple of big dudes who look like they were pulled out of local bars, and it's in West Virginia, of course.
Yeah, really.
And they're just flailing at each other. So it's boxing.
So they're wearing gloves.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And it looks like there's boxing. There's no wrestling involved or anything.
Okay,
so.
Gotcha. Yeah. So one lucky punch. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. What's up, boys?
Nothing. I'm thankful I'm not at the Odyssey Field Day today.
Oh, that's right. The Ad Stars.
The Stars thing or whatever. Ad Stars. Yeah. They're doing it outside right now.
Oh, my God.
Right now.
What's it? What's the feels like out there right now?
I think 20, 19.
Yeah, it's cold out there today.
I always love when we get into these moments where we're like, oh, man, outside. And then there's people that are like working outside. They're like, bleep you guys.
Yeah. Sure. Mad respect.
For extended periods of time.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So Rough and Rowdy 24 last year, guys. All right. I'm into this now. This is Dave Portnoy is, in his weird way, a genius, man.
Yeah.
These are the categories of the different fights. There's there's college bro knockout. There's the fighting leprechaun. There's coal miner fight, bad body fight, little guys brawl, dad knockout, right wing Rambo fight.
Isn't dad knockout just like a Saturday nap after eating lunch?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's stoner fights for a threesome. I guess the winner of that one.
The winner of the stoner fight gets a threesome?
Most tattooed fighter. The seven-footer fight. Oh, this is brilliant.
Is it on? It's on pay-per-view, right? Is it on pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on. Yeah. If you can wait, you can watch it on YouTube.
Like no, I can't. Are you describing this? I must spend the $59.99 or whatever it is on this thing. We may have to have a watch party for this.
I'm watching Right Wing Rambo, and I think this might be extreme right wing. I don't know.
So what's the tell?
These guys look a little bit like they wear suspenders. This is, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The answer is yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So what's the big question of the day today?
You've taken to enjoying these questions.
I have, actually. You guys have been on a roll lately with these.
Well, questions. I hope not to disappoint with this one. Okay. Which athlete, for whatever reason you choose, would you want to see in a broadcast booth?
Joe Buck is coming back.
To
do baseball.
Well, I think the touch point
he
for
said
me.
Athlete.
Yeah. I know, but that's just sort of a starting point.
Yeah, no, the touch point for me actually was Aaron Rodgers. Like, you know, when it was known that, hey, man, he's not going to return to the Jets, there was a lot of people that were getting ahead of, you know, maybe he's going to step away from doing this football thing. And what is he going to do with himself?
Yeah.
And people started thinking the possibility of him in a booth.
I don't want Aaron Rodgers. Why? Oh, so the genesis of this question. Is Joe Buck calling baseball?
No. He talked about his point, and I think that's more accurate.
Okay.
An athlete that you just do not want to see in a
booth. Okay. Athlete that I want to see in a booth. That's a good one. I tell you, somebody who is not an athlete, it's a coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that I think would be really good on TV, and Texan fans aren't going to like this. I think Bill O'Brien would be excellent on television. I think he'd be really good.
I'd be interested in it.
I hadn't thought about that.
I think he'd be good. I think he gives. When you see him do interviews, I think he gives thoughtful answers. I don't obviously disagree with every move he made as the general manager of the Texans. But I think he's got a good energy for it. Mm-hmm. I think Bill O'Brien would be good either doing a studio, like a Rex Ryan role there, especially if he brought some of the teapot bill with him, you know, if he brought the energy, you know?
The only I'm really hesitant about with coaches is when coaches, you can tell they still want to be in the game.
Trying to keep a job.
Because they don't give you anything.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I can tell you want to go back and coach again, but for the time being, you're supposed to be giving me something here.
Yes.
And you're not giving me anything. It's clear you're holding back. That's the stuff that upsets me.
Yeah. Another athlete who I think would be good that people probably wouldn't put on the grid for this, the Honey Badger. Tyrann Mathieu, I think, would be great on TV. Mm-hmm. I think he would be really good on TV.
This one, he doesn't count, but I think he's going to be in broadcasting this year. So Joey Votto, who just retired.
Okay. No, I think that counts.
I've always been very intrigued by Joey Votto in the booth. I enjoy listening to him talk about baseball.
The ladies like Joey Votto, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I didn't check.
I didn't pull what the ladies' opinions were on.
I'm part of the team doing a charity event tonight with your friend Dan Pastorini.
How about that?
Charity.
Dante.
I'm calling out the bingo numbers.
Oh, good.
At his purse bingo for being Angel tonight.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll send along your
regards.
That's
one of the little fundraisers that's really taking off.
Yeah, purse bingo.
The purse bingo.
Yeah, and I've gotten good feedback on my number calling skills.
Really? You can call them?
Because I mix in little jokes along the way and stuff like that. So I've gotten, I think I may have found a niche in the
purse bingo
world.
Guy.
Yeah, I'm be the bingo guy. If this gig runs out, I'll just be running around trying to find bingo games to call out numbers. I'm sure there's a lucrative second chapter.
My mother would have loved you.
Yeah, she's a big bingo player?
She was a big bingo player.
The Heights has a big bingo thing going on.
I've been to it.
Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah. It's a young crowd.
Yeah.
It's very mixed. And you bring your own alcohol and all that good stuff.
Reggie might be a target rich environment.
Oh, very
for a target single
rich.
Guy, huh?
Very target rich.
I mean, that's all night fine and good. You had me at bingo. Bingo's fun, man.
Bingo is
especially
fun.
You get that little dot.
I know when there's one dot left.
Yeah,
the
get the little trolls. Get the little trolls. Rub their hair. Yeah.
Seth looks unimpressed with our bingo talk.
No, I'm thinking. I think Reginald's got very high sugar mama appeal. I think you could.
Okay.
I think there's a. Yeah, I should go latch
what
on
you. What are you doing here?
Yeah,
getting you paid.
Yeah,
just to get you a comfortable living.
I'm with it. Yeah, 100% that side. But also, look, man. Going up in age? Not a problem.
No, not a problem. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. We are done. We will get out of the way here for In the Loop. Seth, Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a joyous, rough and rowdy 78 or whatever to you. I'm in. I'll pay for it. This year, I'm paying for it, Sean.
We'll split it. Seth's paying for the rough and rowdy this year.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, we're done. Out of time.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.